This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Joining the show is Odyssey MLB insider John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. John is also the host of the Odyssey original podcast, Big Time Baseball. Cody Decker, Tony Gwynn covering the entire MLB. John, just your thoughts on last night and how that game ended. It was absolutely poetic, it felt like.
Yeah, it was perfect. That was the matchup at the end. I think one of you said that the only thing better would be if he had homered. Maybe also bases loaded. Maybe we're asking too much here, but yeah. It was, you know, something that he was the potential tying run, and threw 100 miles an hour. That incredible slider that cut all the way across the plate, and of course Trout, who's the best hitter of the last generation, really last quarter century. Swung right through it. So Ohtani right now is unquestionably the best all-around player in the game, and he showed that, and give him credit.
Yeah, I completely agree. That was the biggest story, but then I woke up and found out about Corbin Burnes. We obviously know he's not really happy with the Milwaukee Brewers. He spoke out about the arbitration process, and then today we see that he's enlisted the Boris Corporation as his new representation. So do you think, let's say the Brewers get off to maybe like a slow start, do you think he gets moved at the trade deadline rather than Milwaukee lose him for nothing? Do you think he's pretty much as good as gone? What's next, do you think, for Corbin Burnes here?
Well, Milwaukee is not afraid to make some hard choices with their players. We saw that last year with Josh Hader, yeah, who was traded with a year and a half to go. Now potentially a free agent after the year with the Padres. And obviously that upset the clubhouse, but they seem to be all about the analytics, the numbers, and not the feelings of the players, or they wouldn't have taken their ace to arbitration. I thought he had a winning case based on Bieber. It looked like he should have gotten the same raise as Bieber. They've had basically the same career, both won a Cy Young, both finished seventh last year in the Cy Young voting. I don't know how arbitrators decide. It doesn't seem like a very good system to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I understood him being upset with the Brewers. I didn't know he was upset with his agent. I still don't know if he is upset, but he did change and went with Scott Boras, and obviously going to get serious about this. But, you know, he had a big crew. He had CAA, which is a big company. And, you know, for all the Brewer fans out there today saying, oh, and now he's gone, you know what? He had CAA before. You know, I don't think his chances to remain a longtime Brewer very good before.
Yeah.
I mean, just based on his feelings and the fact he did have CAA, he didn't have some fly-by-night agency or some, you know, young kid representing him who needed the money. So, you know, it's hard to see him as a longtime Brewer now, and it would have been hard even if he had stayed with CAA.
And what the craziest part about it, the years that he had, the last 2 years, and I know, you know, it was 2 years ago that he won the Cy Young, but the case that they made against him, they pretty much used not making the postseason against them, which is not what you want to do with your former Cy Young pitcher.
No, and they didn't make the postseason because they traded Hader.
And because they don't have any bats in that one. Yeah.
Because they traded Hader.
Yeah, and Christian Yelich hasn't been the same player since 2019. Really quickly on that, though, do you think maybe this is why David Stearns stepped down as Brewers president of operations, why he wanted to go elsewhere, I think, you know, maybe to a bigger market here after taking a year off. But do you think it's because the Brewers are cheap?
Yeah. I mean, I would just be speculating there. He seemed to be happy there for a long time. I don't know if they had a difference of opinion on this Hader deal or what, but obviously it got a very bad reaction in Milwaukee and in the clubhouse. So it was not a good move. They fell apart after that trade. We saw in Baltimore, they traded their closer, not Josh Hader, of course, but still a good closer, and the team rallied. And so it was a little different with Milwaukee, where they knew Hader, and he'd been automatic for so long. He had been slumping the previous couple weeks. It was logical for a small market team, but you know, they just don't take the temperature of the clubhouse or consider the feelings. That's the way they are. That's how many small market teams operate. They feel they have to do that because, you know, that's how they think you can win with a small market. Certainly analytics has helped the Tampa Bay Rays, and before Oakland completely gave up, it helped the Oakland A's do well with their analytics. So, you know, you can understand it to a degree, but, you know, they upset the whole clubhouse, and that's the reason they didn't make the playoffs. It wasn't because of Burns slumping or anything like that. And, you know, I'd be speculating on Stearns, but obviously he's going to be going somewhere else, whether that be the Mets or wherever next year.
Interesting. You mentioned just Shohei Ohtani in the World Baseball Classic. It's very clear when you watch him how competitive he is. And it's a shame because the Angels aren't playing competitive baseball, and it doesn't feel like they're going to play competitive baseball anytime soon. What do you think happens to him this season? Do you think the Angels realistically move him? And if you had to give a favorite, who would that be for him to land?
They should have moved him last year. That's when his value was peak. I mean, I understand he's continued to play great. This was a great moment. But in 2 years of control, that's the time to move him. They would have gotten a Soto-type deal where you get five great prospects back. They still will get a good deal if they decide to do it. I just don't think Artie Moreno, the owner, who's continuing to be the owner after threatening to sell, I don't think he has the stomach to trade him. I saw him at the owner's meeting in Palm Beach a month ago, and he's not of a mind to trade him. He thinks he can sign him. They have signed some big contracts. Well, they haven't won. I mean, they signed Pujols, they signed Wilson, they signed Upton, they signed Hamilton, they signed Rendon. They've signed a lot of big deals. Now, obviously, those deals are big. They're nothing like the Ohtani deal. Ohtani's going to – and they signed Trout. You know, obviously, twice they signed Trout. So, I mean, the Angels, while they don't win, they do sign big contracts. So, I think you're right in the sense that they haven't won, and that's going to be the rub, and that's why it's a long shot that he stays with Anaheim or Los Angeles, whatever you want to call him, and does feel like he will end up elsewhere. I don't think it'll be a trade. I think it'll be free agency. I mean, obviously the Dodgers are logical. The Giants will be in there. The Padres will be in there. You got to figure Steve Cohen with the Mets will be in there. It's going to be quite a competition. But he does like the West Coast, but I do think you are right about him being competitive and he wants to win. So I think the Angels are much improved. I think they're going to win some games this year. But, you know, he's got to look at the whole track record and figure, you know, even if they make the playoffs this year, that's only one time. He's going to have options of teams that have made the playoffs the majority of the years.
Yeah, and he's like two players, really, John. And so I think about what he's worth on the open market. I threw around the fact that I think he's worth $80 million. Like, I really do. Like, how much do you think he commands on the open market?
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Well, I've said 500 million is probably the baseline. I've suggested maybe even 600 million. I mean, the record is 360 for a free agent with Aaron Judge. You're right. He's two, and Judge could have gotten more. He would have gotten 400 if he'd gone to San Francisco, I believe, or San Diego. So, you know, we're talking about Aaron Judge, who's a fantastic hitter and defensive player. But, you know, like everybody else, he's not a fantastic pitcher and hitter. And he doesn't bring that marketing. He brings a lot of marketing more than anybody else in the game, but not like Ohtani. So we don't know the exact value of the marketing, but he's really three entities. He's the pitcher, the hitter, and the marketer. So, yeah, you can make a case he's worth three times what anybody else is worth, but I think on the open market, I think $500 million will be the baseline, and he'll probably go north of there.
Talking to John Heyman, BetMGM tonight, you know, we're watching the game last night. It's not the first time we saw that lineup, obviously, for the U.S., but, I mean, we see a lot of Phillies there, and we know we would have had Bryce Harper had he been healthy as a part of that as well. That NL East is absolutely stacked with the Braves, who are actually the favorites. Then it's the Mets. Then it's the Phillies with those three teams. How do you see the NL East shaking out with just these loaded teams playing each other?
Well, I'm probably not going to say because I did that division for my capsules in our special section.
Yeah,
in your post,
yeah.
But I'm kind of with you. I like the Phillies. I mean, they had three guys who were prime players on our WBC lineup, which is an all-star lineup. And you're right. With Harper, they would have had four. The Mets are a good team, but they didn't have anybody who was an everyday player. They had Alonso and McNeil, who were, you know, certainly contributors to the WBC team. But, I guess because the Phillies got to a bad start last year and their overall record wasn't good and the Mets beat them, I think, 15 out of 18 or something like that last year, people don't think about the Phillies. But the Phillies have a much improved bullpen. They've got a great 1-2 punch. They added Taiwan Walker. They added Trey Turner, and you saw what he did. I mean, to me, they're just as good as the Braves or the Mets, and I'm not sure why people are counting them as the third team in that division.
John, any chance anybody other than the Astros wins the AL West? We see Jose Altuve is going to be out of action at least 2 months after the World Baseball Classic. The Mariners, you brought up the Angels. You think they might be a little bit better. I'm done with them, though. Rangers, A's, anybody? Anybody? So pretty much, do you think there's a shot that the Mariners could win the AL West?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible someone else wins it. Obviously, there's four things going on right now with the Astros. They lost Verlander. Nothing they can do about that. So you've got Brantley, who's missed some of spring training, has a shoulder thing going on, something else personal. You've got Yordan Alvarez, who's got a hand thing, something going on with him. And, of course, Altuve out 2 months with a broken thumb. So you've got four issues right now. I mean, they were much the best last year, obviously, even with the improvement of the Mariners and all the spending that the Rangers did, and I like the Angels offseason. You know, they're probably they're the best team in that division, but they don't look unbeatable to me this year. Is there somebody in that division who can beat them? I'm not sure there is, but, I kind of get why they're the favorite because their pitching is still really good, but they shouldn't be overwhelming favorite anywhere. They've got too many issues right now.
John, in the NBA, we talk about league pass teams that maybe aren't contending or competing for anything realistic, but just very fun and maybe outperforming what people think they're going to do. In your estimation, who's that one team in baseball that you think is going to really surprise?
Well, I've been saying the Angels. I know, you know, one of you said you've given up on the Angels.
I think all of us.
That's me.
All of us.
That's because I bet them to win the division every year, John. I love Ohtani.
Yeah, I mean, they got the two best players in the game, arguably. Certainly the best player with Ohtani, and potentially two of the best players, or two of the best three at the very least. And they had a very good offseason. You know, they brought in Anderson to start, Estevez for the bullpen. They brought in Moore for the bullpen. They brought in Hunter Renfro for the outfield, Gio Urshela for the infield, Brandon Drury for the infield. So, I mean, their depth just was a joke last year. It was just terrible. I saw them when they came in Yankee Stadium in May, and they were, I believe, in first place at that time, but certainly had a very good record, and they just fell apart after that with some injuries. Certainly Rendon gets hurt now. They're covered because they've got Gio Urshela. That's as good a backup third baseman as you're going to find in the game. So, you know, they added Renfro in the outfield, which is a nice add. Anderson, you saw Sandoval pitching from Mexico. He looked fantastic. You know, as I said, Ohtani's the best. He's got extra incentive this year, though I don't think he cares a whit about the money. To me, that should be a good team. I mean, it really should.
John, got about a minute or so left here. Your thoughts on what we've seen early on in spring training with the pitch clock and some of the rule changes?
Well, I mean, I'm not biased here. We have deadlines at the New York Post, so I love the pitch clock. I'm barely surviving without the pitch clock. It's infuriating watching these games. It trimmed the fat of the games. I guess some players are complaining. I would just disregard them. I understand that the game is nothing without the players, but look, the minor leagues, they did it in less time. Nobody complained. Everybody figured it out. I get some adjustment. I was at a game where Marcana was fielding a foul ball that was rolling around in the corner. He had a run into the deep right field and get rid of that ball. Then he made a running catch right after that, and then he had a hustle up to bat. You know, the umpire could use some discretion in a case like that. But to change it from 15 seconds and 20 seconds being with the men on base, forget about it. I mean, the game is much better. The fans will like it better. And, you know, I'm barely surviving as it is. I can't have four-hour games when I've got an 11:15 deadline. It's just not even workable.
I'm so glad you said that, especially people that cover a losing team like my Nats, unfortunately. Like the Nats and Pirates in the middle of July going 12 innings and lasting 4 hours.
O'Neil
is just
Cruz,
not good for anybody having to cover that team. John Heyman, always good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks, John.
All right, thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
And that was Odyssey MLB Insider John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter. Beat the books with those trends. Download the BetQL app and visit BetQL.com. I love hearing longtime baseball reporters, people that have been around the game forever, they like the changes. Mm-hmm. That means that there is hope, that people won't be bitching about it as much as we expect some of them to do.
It's tough meeting those deadlines. I used to do some work with the AP. I'd have to do those two-minute wraps after the games. It'd be 3:30 a.m.
When I was working at a
Players' Wives behind me,
a satellite
brutal
network for a while, and yeah. I would have to be stuck there sometimes till 2 a.m. depending on how long baseball
Stringing.
Games went.
Yep.
Absolutely the worst. Would you rather Wednesday next? BetMGM tonight.
Tristan, Nick, and Ryan are taking a break to catch up on their bets. Don't go anywhere. There's plenty more on BetMGM tonight, presented by BetMGM, live from BetQL.